Our cheer tonight is the 52nd in this long-running series. And tonight, and the next few sessions, which will start, I think, after Pesach, because of the vagaries of my schedule, is sponsored by Melissa and Ethan Kaiser in memory of Ben Sion Le Ben Shlomo, Ben Kaiser, Ethan's grandfather. Tein Shmoso, Tzuvos Arachayim. So tonight's shiur is entitled David and Purim. Sounds like a strange title. Subtitle, the episode of Shimi Ben Gera. So this is actually a vignette that is left over from the rebellion of Avshalom, which we just touched on briefly last time, and tonight we go into greater detail. If you look at number 11, the Medrash Shmuel in Parsha Chavov, the Medrash says, Asara Oivim Hayolo L'David. David had 10 enemies. 10 enemies. It sounds like a lot, unless you're in the Rabbanus. He had 10 enemies. Chamisho b'Yisrael v'chamisho b'umos ha'olam. Five of them Jews, five of them non-Jews. Chamisho b'Yisrael, the five Jews, Doeg, Vachitofel, Vishol, Vishini ben Gera, tonight, and Sheva ben Bichri, the subject in the future. And five, Bumos Olam, Golias, Ushloshes, Echov, Vishova. Golias has three brothers and Shova. Now, so tonight's enemy, tonight's adversary, is Shimi ben Gera. And there's an unfortunate pattern that we've seen in Sefer Shmuel, that many, not all, but many of the enemies of David HaMelech, in fact, of the five listed here, Doeg, Achitofel, Shaul, and Shimi ben Gera, were all great Talmid Chachamim, all heads of the Sanhedrin, all great leaders of the Jewish people, and yet they all of them, became involved in rebellion against David HaMelech and completely corrupted themselves. So let's see, as David was fleeing Avshalom, the very first time he fled Yerushalayim, he was on his way east and he would cross the Jordan River. So the Torah, the Navi says, it's Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Hey, number one in our sheets. Uva HaMelech David ad Bachurim. He came to Bachurim, which is outside Yerushalayim. And from there, a man came out from the family of the house of Shaul, Ushmo Shimi ben Gera. His name was Shimi ben Gera, Yotzei Yotzo Mikalel. He came forth and he was cursing. Cursing and going. Vayisakel Babonim as David. He was not only cursing, but if you just picture the scene, he was throwing stones at David HaMelech, v'eskal avdei HaMelech David, and all the servants of David, v'chol ha'om v'chol ha'giborim mimino mismolo, and all of David's servants, the people, the soldiers, from the right and to the left. He was cursing and stoning David HaMelech. Who was this gentleman? One of the great men of the generation. So first, important to know, he was the nephew of Shaul HaMelech. His father apparently was Kish's, his father Gera was a brother of Kish, and the Talmud Chacham, Rashi says he was Rosh the Sanhedrin, he was the head of the Sanhedrin, and again, there have been a number of great Talmid Chachamim in Sefer Shmuel who acted inappropriately. And he really was one of the great Jews of the generation. Look at number 12. It's the Gemara Maseches Gittin Daf Nuntes Amud Aleph. Omar Rabo Braderovo Vitema Rabbi Hillel Braderov Valos. Mimos Moshe V'ad Rebbe. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Lo Matzinu Torah Gedul B'makom Echad. We never find Torah, meaning Torah knowledge, Torah greatness, and political greatness in one person. Usually they don't inhere in the same individual because it's very difficult. if a person to rise to a position of great leadership, it's very difficult to be involved in Torah as well. Not even mentioning the fact that to achieve a political leadership usually involves some corruption of principles, which is the antithesis of leading the Torah life. So only rare cases will we find Torah and Gedulah b'makom echad. One of them is Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. Another is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So the Gemara asks, hello, Havi Yoshua? What about Yoshua ben Nun? Gemara says, no, Havi Elazar. Elazar was greater than Yoshua in Torah. Ha Havi Elazar, Havi Pinchas. Pinchas was greater than Elazar. And was Pinchas too? Havi Canaan. The Canaan were greater than Pinchas. It means, by the way, that from the beginning to the end, no one is greater in leadership or in Torah. So you can have a certain era where a person is great in Torah, like Elazar was. But then when he ascends to leadership, someone surpasses him in Torah, and then it doesn't apply anymore. Bahava Pinchas, Havas Kenan. Bahava Shaul, Havas Shmuel. Bahanach Nashe, but Shmuel died and Shaul was still alive. So Gemara says that principle. Kulhu Shnei Kamrinon. We're speaking about where all of a person's years is Torah Gedulah. Well, Hava David, what about David Tamela? Hava Ira Hayairi, Ira, whom we've encountered in the past, the head of the Sanhedrin in David's time, one of the heads, greater than David in Torah. But he died. Kulhu Shnei Bainan. Again, we need someone to have lived all his years with Torah and Gedulah, like Moshe and Rebbe. That is to say, once they achieved political greatness, their Torah greatness was also unsurpassed. So now the Gemara says, Vahava Shlomo, what about Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of men? No, Hava Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was greater even than Shlomo HaMelech in Torah. And we'll see that Shimi became Shlomo's Rebbe. He was his Rebbe. V'Hakatlai, but yet Shlomo killed him. Again, Kul Shnei Kamrina. You need someone who has Torah Gedulah their entire lives. So that's the person that we're talking about. Now, I guess the question that has to be raised is, here's this sensibly rational person who is a holy person, a wise person, who's stoning David HaMelech, melting him and cursing him. Well, why would that be? So let's look at the Psukim. Pasuk Ches, a Zayin rather. B'chom Arshimi b'kalalo. What was he cursing exactly? This is what he said. Tzei, tzei, go out, ish hadomim, you person of bloodshed, v'ish habliyal, you person of baseness, you lowlife. So he said to David HaMelech, God has repaid you for all the blood of the house of Shaul that you caused, and now you reign in their place. And God has given your kingdom to in the hands of Avshalom your son. It's only because of your wickedness, because you're a person of bloodshed. What? You're talking to David HaMelech here, who's, you know, he's a hero to us now, but he had a hard life at the time. I mean, this is like, things are bad enough. His own son drove him out of his capital and wants to kill him and take his throne. And now you have the head of the Sanhedrin who's turning on him as well. Ish HaDomim, so the Radak says in 3, the Targum Yonason comments, Givar de Chayev Kito, you're someone who's Chayev Misa, David. Why? V'yesh Lomar, some say, Shechashado b'dimei Ishboshes, u'b'dimei Avner. Some say that he, Shimi, held David liable for the deaths of Ishboshes and Avner, even though he didn't kill them. That he said that God has repaid you for the blood of the house of Shaul. You killed the house of Shaul. Umalach l'tachtov. All right. V'yesh teretz kol demei beis Shaul kol chovei beis Shaul. You owe all the debts of Shaul because the Shaul's household was destroyed. Demei beis Shaul seems to imply the Radak says he holds him responsible for the deaths of Shaul and Yonason as well. So he pins a lot on David. Number four, the Rabbag, Ish Hadamim, Ish Hadlials, Ish Hadamim, Beishol and the others, but more than that, Yitachen Shekro, Ish Hadamim, Kidamim Rabim Shafach, Ukoro, because he killed many people, Ukoro, Ish Hablial, Al Dvar Basheva, Ashes Uriachiti. He called him an evil person, a base person, a lowlife, because of what he did to Batsheva. Ish Adamim, you've killed so many righteous people. Ish Ablial, you are a lowlife yourself as well. Now, how does David respond? So first, his men get involved. Vayomer Avishai ben Sriel Amelech. Avishai, Yahweh's brother, says to David, Lama yikalel hakelev hames hazeh. Why is this dead dog? That's where the expression comes from, by the way. Why is this dead dog cursing you? Es Adin HaMelech, my master, the king. Ebra no, let me just pass over the Asira Es Rosho, and I will remove his head. Which is a nice way of saying he'll kill him. He'll just remove his head. Why should this dead dog, curse you? Dead dog, why? Because he's Chayav Nisus, Marbe Malchus. He's Marbe Malchus, he's rebelling against the king, it's as if he's dead already. And he's a Kelev, because he has no value. Not to insult any dog owners here. He has no value as a human being anymore. David says no. Vayomer HaMelech, Mali v'lochem b'nei Tzruya. What does it matter to me or to you, the sons of Tzruya? He gives a beautiful answer. Ko yikalel, let him curse. Ki Hashem Omar lo, because God said to him, or must have said to him, Kalel es David, curse David. Umi Omar, and maybe who can say, Madu Asisa Kain, why did you do this? Vayomer David Avishai v'kol avadov, Hinei v'ni asher yatsa mimei mivakesh es nafshi. Behold, my son who came out of my own loins, he wants to kill me. So this guy is cursing me. He's stoning me. How could you compare what this person is doing to me or what my own son is doing to me? Ve'af ki ato ben hayimini, even though, so, and now this Benjaminite, this son of Binyamin, the house of Shaul, hanichulo v'kalel, let him curse me. Ki omar lo Hashem, because God has told him to. Ulay yira Hashem be'eini, maybe God will see the pain in my eyes, the tears in my eyes. Ve'yishuv Hashem li tovo tachas ki lo so yom hazeh, and God will repay me favorably instead of the in place of the suffering that I have today. Ve'yelech David v'anashav adorech, David and his men went. It's piskav emtza pasuk. V'shimi olech b'tzela ha'har u'maso, and Shimi walked along the side of the mountain opposite him. Haloch, v'haloch, walking along. V'kalel v'yasakel b'avanim u'maso v'ipar b'afar. He kept cursing him and kept throwing stones at him and throwing dirt at him. That is real hatred. What else did he say? So if you look at number 7 on the left side of the page, so we had from the Radak and the Ravag a number of issues that were raised through stones. Shaul, Ishbosheth, Avner, Batsheva. So the Gemara breaks it down even more. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Kufei Amud Aleph, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar, David later will see, tell Shlomo what to do with Shimei, V'hu kilolani kol nimretzes. He cursed me, an explicit curse. So the Gemara says, no trikun. Nimretzes is an acrostic. Nun, No Eifu, as we yelled at David, No Eifu, he's an adulterer. Moavi was a Moavi, think back years ago to the Shir, he's unfit for Malchus. Ratzeachu, he's a killer. Tzorerhu, he's an adversary to everything that's holy. Toivahu, he's an abomination. I guess he never sang David Melchachai V'Kayo. That's what he is. Nimretzes. Noev, Moavi, Ratzeach, Tzorer, Toivahu. David has a very interesting answer. Rashi says in 2, Koyikalel, Kenyikalel, let him curse. We see the godless of David HaMelech. Hashem Omar lo, God said to him, Efshar Adam Kimoso, Shehu Rosh L'Sanhedrin, Yikalel HaSamelech, is it possible that a person like Shimi, who's the head of the Sanhedrin, will curse the king? Im lo shen emar lo mesakadosh baruch hu, if God had not told him to do such a thing. If he didn't feel properly motivated by what Hashem said, if you look at number 8, it's a sefer I have at home, Hasidic insights into the Novi. So Tanya, the Baal Tanya, asks a good question. Where do you find that David told Shimi to curse, that God told Shimi to curse David? Eloi says, Im Hashem Yisbarach, if God had removed his life, if God had taken off his head like Avishai wanted to do, and removed his providence from Shimi at that moment when he was cursing, he couldn't have cursed David at all. He couldn't have even spoken. If indeed God gave him life at that moment to curse David, simanu, it's a sign of Marlo Hashem. God must have told that to Shimi. That's how David looked at it. It's amazing, amazing spirit that David had. A recognition that all this is part of a divine plan, and even the bizoyo is part of the divine plan. Koyikalel at the top left, number 6, the Metzudas. Umi Yomar lo, how could he curse if not from God? Umi Yomar lo l'shimi madu asisa kein, halo shlucha shel makom. He has to be God's agent. That, in fact, if you look at number 9, the Bal Yismach Yisrael says, that's why David HaMelech was called Malko Mehemna, the faithful king, because whatever happened to him, he always attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, this is God's will. As opposed to Shaul, this week's Haftarah, when he failed to kill Agag, when Shmuel said to him, "Vayimaschomi Melech," that God despises you as king, Shaul hischanev amar, he flattered Shmuel and said, "Kabdeni na, at least show me some honor before this Canaan." I mean, he didn't accept the will of Hashem. David, no, when he was thrown out from, when he was chased by Shaul, God's will. Stern as being king, God's will. When he was Baruch, Mipnei Avshalom Beno, it was with the Ratzon Hashem, Afil Kasher Sono Kilel Oso, Lo Nir Taklau. Even when his enemy cursed him, he did not tremble at all. Ki Omar Lo Hashem, God must have told this to him, Bubatil Legamre, Lert Sono Yisbarach. He completely nullified himself, self-abnegation, in relation to the Ratzon Hashem. Now this, of course, is a beautiful trait. So beautiful that it found its way into the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Reish Mem Aleph, the Isser of taking vengeance on a person. So you're not allowed to take revenge. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah, number 5. Sheyeda Adam V'iten Alibo Kichol Sheyikre Mitov Adra Usibo Shetovo Alam Meis Hashem Baruch Hu. A person should recognize whatever happens to an individual, whether good or bad, happens for a reason. It's all from Hashem. Umiyada adam miyad ish achiv lo yedavik l'ti ratan Hashem baruch hu. Nothing's going to happen to a person but for what Hashem sends his way. Al kain kishi yitzarehu o yachiveyu adam. When a person is troubled or tormented by another, why shouldn't we take revenge? The person's just a vessel from Hashem. And whatever comes to you, that's just. You can try to stop it, of course. There's no mitzvah to accept harm or pain. But to take vengeance means that I'm rebelling against what happened to me. Yes?
Isn't he referring
What's that? Not revenge. Not revenge. Justice. Different. All right, so I don't know if it, I think it's in the papers here also, but when I was in Israel, there was an interview published with Meir Amit, who was the head of the Mossad at the time of the Munich Olympic massacres. It was the first interview he gave in decades. And he took issue with Spielberg's movie, which portrayed the Mossad as just out for vengeance. It's completely false. They weren't out for vengeance, not even justice, which is also a different argument, but as preemptive. Because these people who did what they did, they would do it again. That's why they had to kill him. As a sign to get rid of them, of course, a sign to others as well, not to get started. We'll see that idea is similar to what happens here as well. Because David doesn't want to shoot him. David does not. But generally, the mitzvah, shalalinkom, not to take nekama, is that when something happens to a person that's done already, then adam yeda benafsho ki avanosav garmo, you should recognize in your soul that your sins caused it. As the people say, it should be a kapara. Usually people say that when it happens to someone else, it's a kapara for you. Me, it's something different. It's annoying. I want to take vengeance. Someone else, the kapara. Hashem yisbarach gazar al v'kach. But God, He decreed this. V'lo yoshus machshav asav l'mkom yimenu kiyem asibas rasav. Now that person who harmed you, he is not the cause of the harm. Your own sins are the cause of whatever harm. And he was an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki havon hu misavev, the real cause is sin. Hu kamo she'amar David alav shalom, hanichu lo, let him be, v'yikaleh, let him curse me. Ki amar lo Hashem, because God had said to do this, tolo ha'inyan b'cheto, v'lo b'shimi ben gero. David saw Shimi as just a tool, and he saw his own sins as the cause of everything that happened to him. It's a beautiful attitude that David had. It's all the Ratzon Hashem. Meanwhile, what should be the fate of Shimi ben Gera? Well, it would seem that he's Chayav Misa, right? That was Avishai's immediate conclusion, because he was married by Malchus. If you look at number 10, the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, Perakim Alocha Hey. Anybody who insults the king, a macharfo, disparages him, embarrasses him, Yeshul Melech Rishus Largo, the king has the right to kill him. Kishimi Ben Gera, just like Shimi, David had the right to kill him. Yeshul Melech Rishus Largo, the disciple of Vine, kills him through the sword, but he has the right to kill him. I just wanted to add one or two things in the Rabbag on the previous point. First Pasuk Yud, then Pasuk Yud Beis. He says, because God told him to curse David, and again, Hashem Yisbarach Shalit B'chol Asher Yachpos. God is master, ruler of everything that we desire. And just like the Achei Yosef, Yosef recognized whatever they did to him was because of Yosef's own sins or flaws, so too here. And David hoped, Ulai Yir Hashem Beini, maybe God will see into my eyes the pain I'm suffering, and I'll be forgiven for my sins. Ratzon lomar ulay yashgiach Hashem bavur eini. Ratzon bazeh bavur ma she'eini ro'eh me'abzuyim o'elu. The fact that my eyes see these insults. V'ani sovlo v'chvod Hashem yisparach. And I suffer them for the honor of God. V'af al pi she'esh l'el yadi l'inokei mishimi. Even though I have the power to avenge myself from Shimi, he named me Zos Atchuna Tova Nibo Mi Sibul Elu Ani Masbol Ani Ba Masbol Elu Acharafos Ulay Yoshivli Hashem Yisbarach Tova Tachas Kilosa Shekilozi Amaze. I have this good trait that I can tolerate these insults, so maybe God will look at me differently as well. Because we know one way of tshuva also is that a person humbles himself. He's humbled and he accepts it. That's part of the process of tshuva as well. So in fact, David recognizes Shimi's chayav misa. He's liable to the death penalty immediately. summary execution, but he spares him. Because he spares him, he says, maybe God will spare me as well. Now they meet again. They meet again. If you turn to the backside, flip side, number 13. They meet again a few prokim later. So we fill in the blanks from last time. You know that Avshalom, the tide turns, and then he has to flee. And as he's fleeing, David's men, his head gets caught in a tree, and he dies. And David is informed of his death, and then he is on his way back to Yerushalayim to reclaim his kingdom. And that now is return to Yerushalayim is the subject of Shimei and David's next encounter. Perek Yutes Pasuk Tezayin, number 13. Vayoshav Amelech Vayvod Yarden, the king returned, went up to the Yarden. Yudah Baha Gilgalo. He reached the Jordan River, so the people of Yudah came to the Gilgal to greet him. Gilgal is right on the other side of the Jordan, not far from Yericho. Lolechas Lekras Amelech, Aviras Amelech HaSeyar, they wanted to help him cross the Jordan, escort him across. As soon as he's entering Eretz Yisrael, Vayimaher Shemi Ven Geiro Ben Ayimini Hashemi Bachorim, Shemi Ben Geiro, from the tribe of Binyamin, from Bachurim, the man of that terrible story, hastens to David. Vayered Emish Yudah Lekras Amelech David, and he descends with the men of Yudah to greet David, meaning Shimi from Binyamin, really the rival tribe, joins with the men of Yudah to greet David. Ve'elef ish imomi Binyamin, 1,000 men with him from Binyamin, Tziva also, to try to butter up David HaMelech, because Tziva had done him a favor. And they all went down to the Jordan, they crossed it, Lifnei HaMelech, Ve'avra Ha'arava, when the ferry crossed, Laviris Beis HaMelech, L'masa Sato Beinov, the Shimi ben Geiro nafal lifnei Melech bovro beYarden. Doug was crossing the Jordan. Shimi fell before him. Sounds like he fell before him in the water itself. Just prostrated himself before David. Vayomer laMelech, he said to the king, you remember what I said a few months before? Never mind. On second thought, Al yachshav li Adoni Avam. Do not, my Lord, consider this a sin. And please do not remember that your servant sinned on the day that you left Yerushalayim. What was that? I was just kidding. Just mouthing off. Can't take a joke. Don't pay any attention to that. But seriously. My master knows that your servant has sinned. And behold, I have come the very first from the house of Yosef, that rival set of tribes, Yosef versus Yehuda, rival monarchy almost. I'm the very first to come to show that I accept your monarchy, and I beg the king's forgiveness. Vayan Avishai ben Tsruya, Avishai, always quick with the sword, says to David, Hasacha zos lo yumas shemi. Despite this, should he still not be killed? Ki leos Mashiach Hashem. He cursed the anointed of God. So David gives the same answer he gave three prokim ago. Vayom David, Ma livo lachem b'nei Tsruya? What does it matter to me or to you, the sons of Tsruya? Ki siyu li hayom l'satan. You should be an adversary to me today. Here I'm reclaiming my malchus today. So hayom, today of all days, yumas ish b'Yisrael. I shall put a man to death in Israel, a fellow Jew. Ki alo yadati ki yom ani melech haYisrael. But do I not know that today I'm king over Israel? I'm reclaiming my monarchy. Should I reclaim it? Should I reassert myself by killing somebody, especially somebody from the house of Shaul? Vayom haMelech el Shimi lo tamus, you will not die. Vayishaval lo haMelech, and the king swore to him. And that really is their last encounter, but from this, Shimi becomes the Rebbe of Shlomo haMelech, the young Shlomo, So Rashi says in 14, Rishon hu l'cho beis Yosef, kol Yisrael chatu l'cho. All of Israel sinned against you. By the way, how many supporters did David have in the rebellion against Avshalom? 600. 600 means tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people supported Avshalom. So kol Yisrael chatu l'cho. Vani Yosef mikulam. See, I'm not trying to excuse my guilt in the great multitude of people who sinned, like everybody did it. No, I knew Yosef Mikulam, I was worse than all of them. But v'hinni basi l'vakesh mechila, I'm now asking forgiveness. Intekableini, if you accept it, then b'tuchim kol Yisrael shetekableim, and you could be assured all of Israel will accept you again. If not, you will be afraid to return to you. It's actually a very clever argument. He was big Talmud Chacham, a very clever argument. Shimi essentially said to David that I'm the test case. If you forgive me, then everyone will look past what you had done and what Avshalom had done, and they'll know that you are looking to reunite the kingdom and we'll be one people. But if you kill me, then people will know that you're just on a vengeful streak and you're out to destroy all your enemies. And if you do that, you'll destroy all Klal Yisrael, because in fact all Klal Yisrael were your enemies. So David said in response, correct, Hayom you must ish, he said to Abishai, bit me up. Today of all people, you want me to kill someone? Kayom ani melech, adach shavisi sabo lo zilzal b'yadam gadol kazeh. Now, until now, I thought that no one had embarrassed me, insulted me like this great person. Elam kei nifzika malchusi meis ha-makom. But for the fact that my kingdom had ended. And now he's telling me, achshavu mischaret. Now that he's regretful, now I know I'm the king again. Now this is a subject of machlokas between David and Abishai. It's not just a question of the temperament, whether they should do it or not. But Tzitz Eliezer in 21 sees it as a halachic argument. So Yerushalmi says that there were 6 months that David was on the run from Avshalom. In those 6 months, the question really is, what was David's status? Was he king or not king? Yerushalmi says during those 6 months, he did not bring or have brought the seir, the goat offering of a melech, because he was a hedyot. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer said, Amar tzchelik yibbeis simon samach dalid, but marti latare dir Yishalmi because us. I'll explain the words of Yishalmi like this. In a togev gedula sekach hamelech b'mishnei tzadim, the might, the power, the authority of the king comes from two sources. One, mitzad shu Mashiach Hashem, he's God's anointed. Two, mitzadam shekulam kiblu osa kemelech aleihem, because the people accept him. You have those two sources of authority. So what the Yerushalmi means is that during those six months, one measure of David's authority as king was completely eradicated. And that was Kabbalah Sa'om. The did not accept him as a melech. What's a king without a kingdom? He's in fantasy land. That's what he is. A king who has no kingdom is not a king. So that's how David paskin la'alocha. If he doesn't have a king, if he doesn't have a kingdom, he can't be a king. If he's not a king, then what Shimi did is not mor b'malchus. Or you could say differently, maybe it's mor b'malchus, but I have the right to be mor, but I wasn't the king. David said, how was I the king? Because David said, he really deserves me, sir. Only because I was Mashiach Hashem. The fact he's Mashiach Hashem, God's anointed, never ended. Because that's not within man's purview to vitiate. But David maintained you need both aspects, both in Visha of monarchy, Mashiach Hashem and Kabbalah Sa'om. Abishai maintained, though, and you see from the Pasuk, he said to David, Asacha zos lo yimashemi ki kilel as Mashiach Hashem. You may not have been melech vis-a-vis the Om, but you're still a melech because you're God's anointed. That should suffice for killing him. So David said, technically you're right, but in this case, if the Om did not accept me as Melech, then I can't kill him. It wouldn't be right. And now, in fact, that notion is reinforced, as Rashi says. Because now that Shimei has come crawling back to David, it reinforces to David, vindicates him, that once again he's the Melech, and the symbol of this acceptance is Shimei and his Hachna, Radak in 15. In Bavur Achna Zosh also Shimei Techaperlo Shelo Yomus. It's this hachna alone that Shimei did that should be the kapar that he should not die. So in fact, that was the machlokes between Avishai and David. David said he has the right to be mochel is kavod, even though insofar as he's Mashiach Hashem, he's still Melech. Avishai said he never lost the status of Melech because you only need one, either Mashiach Hashem or Kabbalas Ha'om. Now, we'll return to Shimei in a few moments and his fate, the continuation, the end of his story. But before that, let's look at the story of Purim. So the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, at the bottom of the daf, it's number 17. You all know the pasuk. It's one of the pasukim we say out loud. In fact, the first of the pasukim we say out loud during Kriyas Megillah. Ish Yudiyah Yabesh Hashan Adira. Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimei Ben Kish Ishimini. Mordechai was a descendant of Shimei Ben Gera. So the Gemara asks first, Ishimini, why is Mordechai called Ishimini? Mike Bamar, Ili Yechusa Kate. If his common teacher says Yichus, Liyachse Baza Ben Yamin. So have a whole Yichus, back to Ben Yamin Ben Yaakov. Elomayshna hani, why just these? Tana was taught, Kulan al Shmo Nikru. All dashing the names. Why was Mordechai called Ben Yair? Ben Sheheir Einayim Shal Yisro B'Tfiloso. He illuminated the eyes of Israel in his Tfilos. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshomael, Tfiloso. The one whose Tfilos God heard. Ben Kish, Shikish al Sharach Mnuftechulo. He banged on the gates of mercy, and they were open for him. Mordechai's tfilos turned the tide. Kari, the Sanagmar continues. But he's called Ishudi and also Ishimini. Ishudi at the beginning of the pasuk, Ishimini at the end of the pasuk. How could it be both? He's either from Yudah or Binyamin. Sanagmar darshans. Kari la Yudah alma miyudah kate. Vekari la Yimini alma mi Binyamin kate. Can't be both. He's either from one tribe or another. Amar Rav Nachman, Mordechai Muchta bin Imusahayar. Nachman says, no. He's crowned with a variety of designations, but the Gemara explains. Amar Abba Barachan, Rav Yishu bin Levi, Aviv mi Binyamin, V'imo mi Huda. His father was from Binyamin, mother, Yuda. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say differently. Mishpachos Mizgaro Zobozo. The families were warring one with another, the tribes of Israel, arguing. Mishpachas Yehudah Omeres, the tribe of Yehudah was saying, Ana Gorim Demisuleid Mordechai. We are the cause of Mordechai being born. How so? Dilokatle David Lashimi Ben Gera. Because David did not kill Shimei. If David had killed Shimei back in Perek Tes Zayin, when he had the opportunity, what would have happened? No Shimei, no Yair, no Mordechai. Who knows what happens to the Jews? So Shem Yudah says, because of the wisdom, the compassion of our ancestor David, Anagorim demisuid Mordechai. Mordechai is really ours. Ish Yehudi. U'mishpachas Binyamin Amra, the tribe of Binyamin said, no, Minai Kote, he's from us. Very nice, David played a role, but he's really from us. As I mentioned this morning at the shir in Chumash and Megillah for the women, the next point that was really the subject of the shir this morning, more or less. Rabba Ma, Rabba said, Knesset Yisrael, Omer Lidach Esau. So the Rabbanan said one thing. The Rabbanan looked at it favorably. Yudah can claim credit. Binyamin can claim credit. Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people generally, is not as charitable. in their analysis, Jews can be very critical, they said differently. Look what the Jew did, and look what the Benjaminite did. Mordechai, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. What did David do? So David didn't kill Shimei, right? And therefore Mordechai was born the Mekane Bei Haman. Mordechai aroused Haman's hatred, animosity. If not for that, who knows what would have happened in the story of Purim. From the Megillah, it seems, there's a shir this morning, from the Psukim, it seems that Mordechai provoked Haman. And then Haman said, I'll kill all the Jews because they're on Mordechai. So what did David do for us? Look what David did. He should have killed Shimei. Had he killed Shimei? No Mordechai. Umashile liyamini, and look what the Benjaminite did. Delokatle shol Agag. Shol also didn't kill someone he could have. He didn't kill Agag. De isilad minei Haman, de mitzar li Yisrael. And Haman was therefore born a descendant of Agag, Haman who tormented Israel. So the Rabbanon looked at Yehudah and Binyamin, and they said, what? Wonderful. They both claim credit for Mordechai. Knesset Yisrael looks at Yehudah and Binyamin. What do they say? A pox on both your houses. You're both wrong. David never should let Shimei live. Because look what happened. Mordechai was born who provoked Haman. And Shaul never should have let Agag live. Because Haman was descendant who tormented Klal Yisrael. All right, just to finish on a positive note, Rabbi Yochanan Amar La'olam mi Binyamin Kate. He's really from Binyamin. So why is he called Yehudi? Because that's why we're called Jews too. Al shum shekafar b'avodazara. Shekafar b'avodazara nikra Yehudi. Anyone who renounces idolatry is called a Jew. Yechsiv in Daniel, Iti Gavrin Yudah, and these are Jews. A Jew is one who's Modeh, Yudah, Modeh. What are we Modeh? Modeh Lashem. To be Modeh Lashem is to be Kofer Avodah Zarah. At any rate, you see an interesting thing. We'll be positive. Not like the Knesset Yisrael. There's a contrast here that is striking in the story of Purim. David didn't kill Shimei when he could have, and therefore Mordechai was born. Mordechai, who was Moshiach Yisrael. Shaul HaMelech didn't kill Agag, also out of compassion. But Agag then fathered a descendant, Haman, who wanted to exterminate Klal Yisrael. Mercy, like all emotions, needs the right circumstances for application. The right time and the right place. David's mercy saved. Shaul's mercy almost destroyed. David didn't do what he was entitled to do. Kill Shimei, he was more of a malchus. Shaul didn't do what he was obligated to do, which was to kill Agag, God's command. Shaul disobeyed the Dvar Hashem explicitly. David heeded an implicit Dvar Hashem. Mistama, he said, ki amar lo Hashem. God must have told Shimei to curse me. I will overlook it. Something else comes out of this also. Something we always have to ponder. Jewish history is like this, and certainly the story of Purim is like this. Look first at number 16. The Hotzer Midrashim. Families would argue, David as Shimei ben Gerul or Yotzim ben Mordechai, Yiskani Bohama, as opposed to Mishpachas Binyamin, Shilmolei Harak Sholagag, or Yotzim ben Hama. We never like to look at life this way, but it's a truism. You do one act and you don't know the repercussions of that act. Either that day or the next week or the next year, in 50 years later, in this case we're talking 400, 500 years later. Who knows? That's the ripple effect that exists in Jewish history. And certainly the Megillah is filled with these types of coincidences. Who would think that because they're Nene Misudasa Shalosh HaRasha, so 12 years later, Ahasuerus is going to kill them? Who's going to think because Mordechai overhears Bigson and Seresh that 9 years later is going to play a role in the salvation of Klal Yisrael? Who's going to put this jigsaw puzzle together? Who's going to think that because in a moment where he acted on his positive instincts, or better said, his godless David HaMelech, and spare Shimei, when a normal person would have killed him, he's still a Melech, he's fighting for his throne, and David says, no, Hanichula. Who's going to think that 500 years later, because of that one act of sparing Shimei and redeeming him, even temporarily, for a few years, it's going to produce the Moshiach Shel Yisrael? Just like who's going to think that Shaul, because he spares Agag for one day, it's going to produce a terrible crisis and potential catastrophe in Jewish life so many hundreds of years later? We are finite, and our time here is very limited. So we don't have the luxury or even the ability to look at events from such a broad perspective of time. Of course, Chazal are different, and certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a different madrega altogether. Lo machshav asai machshav aseichem, lo darchichem drachoi. You do one thing here, and it happens, results happen another place. You know, we have an inkling of that now because we're so technologically advanced. You click a button here, and within seconds, a message is transported wirelessly, has an effect on the other side of the world. We see that. So now we see it happening immediately. We all know it happens over time as well. I mean, life is like this. Decisions people made 60, 70 years ago. Stay in Europe, not stay in Europe. It has effects on future generations. L'dorei doros. That's the limud of David and Purim, and really of David and Shimei as well. In one act, a tremendous salvation for Klal Yisrael later on. That's how we're to look at life, and that's part of the godless of David HaMelech. So what happens now? Let's look at number 8 was Rashi and the Gemara. David's act, number 18 rather, Delokatle David L'Shimi, Shachayev Miso, he was Chayev Miso. And Balidach Isa, Klal Yisrael, looked at the whole episode with Tzaoko, below the Shavach. They did not come to praise Mordechai at all, or David or Shaul, but to criticize all of them. Let's look at 22. Now this is the Haftarah for Shabbos Parashas Vayechi. It's David's last testament, his last message, in which he charges his son Shlomo to live properly, raise his children, all the things that parents say, and how to dispose of all his enemies. And the very last thing that David says before he dies to Shaul, we find here in Perek Beis Pasuk Ches in Melachim Aleph. V'hine imcha Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini. Shimi ben Gera lives with you. Mibachurim. All right? He lives with you. So Chazal learned Musa from this too. Look at number 19. It's the Gemara Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Amruchia bar Ami Mishmeir Ulo. La'olam yodur adam imakom rabo. A person should always try to live where his Rebbe lives. The Rebbe's presence itself, even in the neighborhood, it has a roshim on people. Harder for the Talmud to sin. Shekol zman shashimi ben gera kayom lo nasa shlomo's basparo. As long as Shimi lived, Shlomo did not marry Basparo. Shimi's gone, Shlomo's moreheter la'atzmo. So Gemara says, Vatanya al yadur, a separate brisa said, not to live, ni Rebbe, lokashio. Hoda kayifle, hoda lo kayifle. So Rashi says, kol zman shashimi megera kayom, desomach lemisa shimi ksiv, v'yischaten Shlomo asparo. As soon as Shimei died, the Navi records, Shlomo married out. The difference is, If he's subservient to his Rebbe, he'll accept the Rebbe's criticisms and rebukes, because then he has some influence over him. Better to keep a distance. So now David informed Shlomo about his Rebbe Shimi. Why? Because the Barbanel says here Shlomo was his Talmud. Shlomo didn't see Shimi's true character. And now David informs him, V'hu kilalani kolad nimreses. He cursed me, an explicit curse. V'yom lechti machanoyim. On the day that I left my camp, fled Yerushalayim, V'yarad likrasi ayardein. But he assuaged me, and I swore to him, Shavu v'ashem lemor, im namischo b'chorav. I won't kill him with the sword. V'ato, but now, al tenakeyu. Don't let him go. Ki ish chacham ato. You're a very wise person. You'll know what to do to him, and you'll send his sorry soul down to the grave. That's the last message David gives in the world. Next pasuk, and there be David. Then he dies. The last thing he said was to kill Shimi ben Gera. All right. Rashi says, 23. You'll find some pretext, find some cause to kill him for something else, other than the fact that he cursed me. All right. So the Radak says, "24. Let him still live with you in Yerushalayim." In order to bring him either to death or perut separation, you'll find there a reason to kill him. Uvidrash, Rabo Hayo, Malamdo, two reasons. He wanted him in Yerushalayim because he's Rebbe, good influence. He also wanted to keep him there to find a pretext. Now, is that an inconsistency? It seems like it, but it's really not. He was his Rebbe, no doubt. But David always doubted that Shimi was reconciled to his malchus. Shimi ben Gera is the legacy of Shaul HaMelech. He's the remnant of Beis Shaul. And David knows that the grievance of Beis Shaul will never be assuaged. Never. And therefore he has to watch Shimi very carefully. What Shlomo therefore does is give Shimi ben Gera a test. And he says to him at the end of Perek Beis in Malachim Aleph, "Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikra LaShimi." He calls him Vayomer Lo. He says to him, "Bnei Lucha Vayis B'Yerushalayim. You build a house in Yerushalayim, V'yashavto Shom, and you live there. V'lo Teitzei Misham Oneh V'Omah. You don't leave there at all." Can it be more explicit? No. Build a house in Yerushalayim. Never leave. You have to stay in Yerushalayim. And the Dovid make it even more clear. Why in Yerushalayim? He's under his thumbs. He can't foment the rebellion. He can only be a positive force, as his Rebbe. But if you ever leave Yerushalayim, not a bad curse, stay in Yerushalayim. V'avartos Nachal Kidron, you cross Nachal Kidron, Yada Teida Kimos Tamus. You should surely know you'll be killed. Damcho Yevro Shecha. The blood is on your head if you do that. Vayomer Shimi LaMelech, complete understanding. Tova davar kasher diber Adonai HaMelech kein yaseh atecho. You spoke properly. I'll do exactly what you want. Vayeshev Shimi Mirushalayim Yamim Rabim. He lived there many days, really 3 years. And now the Navi continues. After 3 years, two servants of Shimi fled. And they went to Achish Melech Gat. Gat, of course, a Plishtim, the western border, a western Eretz Yisrael along the Mediterranean. They told Shimi, "Hinei avadecha begat, your servants are in Gat." Vayokom Shimi vayachavosh eschamaro, and he went to Gat to retrieve his servants. Vayugad l'Shlomo. Shlomo was told, Kilach Shimi Mirushalayim Gad Vayashov. They said Shimi left Yerushalayim in violation of the order, and now he's returned. What did Shlomo suspect? Shlomo suspected, and you can't say that he was wrong, that this whole business of the servants was a convenient pretext. Shimi was trying to test the waters, to see, in fact, after a few years, does he have some maneuverability? Is there still room for him to somehow worm his way back to the Malucha? Has he earned Shlomo's respect and trust so much so that he could bend the rules? And if so, he'd keep bending and bending until he's able to do to Shlomo what he did to David. Shlomo's well aware. David, his father, said to him, that you know, Ish Chacham Ata, you're a very wise person. And as he said to him, also in that very parak, he said, you'll know how to deal with your enemies. Basiso ki chachmasecha. Use your chachma. Shlomo analyzed and he knew exactly what was happening. He calls Shimi in and says, hello, Ishbaticha Basher. Didn't I swear to you, to God, not to leave Yerushalayim, and the day you left that you would be killed? And what did he say? So the pasuk said, Nachal Kidron. Nachal Kidron is east of Yerushalayim. So Shimi argues to David, no. Shimi says, what you had said was, if I cross Nachal Kidron, but I left Yerushalayim without crossing Nachal Kidron. Alright? It's true. But Shlomo knew, and Shimi really knew as well, that was what he was doing was just testing David HaMelech. So in fact, Vayetzav HaMelech has been Oyo ben Yehoyada, Vayetzei, Vayifgabo Vayamos. Ben Oyo ben Yehoyada, who is Shlomo's chief of staff, he dispatches him, he kills Shimi, Vamamlechon Nichono Biyad Shlomo. And then the Malchus was confirmed for Shlomo. Rashi says, Lo nenash al kolela. He wasn't punished for any of this, because in fact he suspected, and perhaps quite properly and appropriately, that Shimi was still not reconciled to his melucha. So in fact, it's like Amit said, about the Mossad after the Munich massacre. It wasn't vengeance, and it wasn't only justice. It was preemptive, because they were planning something. They would plan something in the future as well. That's why they had to be eliminated. With this, the problem of Beis Shaul really ends. I guess it will return in some sense when the Malchus divides into Yehuda and Ephraim, but for now, and certainly for Shlomo's life, it ends. In summary, all of Purim, the whole story, is all divinely ordained coincidences that depend on people's bechira. Here, David HaMelech made one decision, used his bechira properly, to istulit Mordechai, and as a result, Shimi lived, and so Mordechai was born. Mordechai, who brings about the salvation of Israel, Shua Sama Yisrael Netzach, v'tzidkasom l'chol dor v'dor. And that's David and Purim. Thank you very much.